thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. No confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting, as since we are edified and Christ the Lord is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. First Timothy 3. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. Let's see what Paul says. So we are still on the doctrine of praise and worship, but we're trying to examine what exactly is, what does praise mean, and what is praise to us as saints. We're going to through scriptures to examine what is praise and worship. Or the word worship is used in the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. The word praise is used in the Bible. What we want to do in this series is to try to examine how they are used and what is the purpose of its usage or their usages, and how they were used and what was communicated when they were used. So look at 1 Timothy 3, 15 or 14. It says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto you shortly. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave. So what is he really saying? He's saying that I'm writing these things to you, but even though I'm writing these things to you, I'm hoping I'll come to you shortly. But if I tarry, so if my shortly is not short enough, right, it means that the entirety of this letter should be seen as a document to show and to teach how you ought to what? Be. Things right down to thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the pillar and ground of what? The truth. So fundamentally, Paul is saying to Timothy that the saints need to know how to behave themselves in the local church, right? When we come together, we don't come carelessly. You know, I started teaching about order on Wednesday. And we said, what is order? Order is something that is God-made, right? That God expects to be found in his church. The local church is a place where order needs to be, you know, needs to be understood. And what do I mean by order? Order just really means a particular way we do certain things. So it means that when we come together as saints, we don't behave anyhow. Yeah? When we come together as saints, we don't prioritize any tribe. We don't prioritize any human. Right? What I mean, apart from Christ Jesus. And so it means we don't exalt the rich over the poor or the poor over the rich. We don't exalt the married over the single or the single over the married. We don't exalt the CEOs over the project managers or the project managers over the data analysts. Right? So we don't exalt anyone over anyone. As long as we're in the local church, there is a what? A middle ground where we all operate on the foundation of Christ our Lord and Savior. Such a thing called order. Like I said over the week, we don't go and behave ourselves anyhow when we go to for an interview. And we're together. And I mentioned earlier on, I was invited for a jury service and I explained to you the order in which the lawyers were behaving, the order in which they came into church, the order in which they left, the order in which they spoke. So it means the church can have a way we speak. The church can have a way we act. Right? You see, the local church is not a place where people who want to be carnal will find expression. Are we here? I'll say it again. The local church is not a place where people who want to be carnal will find expression. Right, so when you see a local church trying to, because they want to get the people going to the club, make the church a club, they are just going outside what the scripture instructs. And we're together. And Jesus will take disciples for 40 days back to back. Listen to this carefully. Jesus will take disciples for 40 days back to back and teach them for 40 days, right? And he will not give extracurricular activities. Yeah, they didn't have basketball evenings. Altogether, they didn't have, Pastor, you know, people don't listen for long. Let people just come and just be able to move themselves and enjoy themselves. And, you know, sometimes you go for Christian camps, and the activities they did in that camp for 5 days or 1 week is the carnal activities are more than the spiritual activities. Right? And you ask yourself a question, how did we get here? Right, you know, I said it before. History shows that majority of disciples, probably over 80 to 90% of them, were teenagers when they were following Jesus. You know what I mean? It means that at age 13, 14, what we call 13, 14, 15 today, at that time they were already disciples, and it was at that phase of their lives that they learned what they learned that transformed the world. and we're together. So it means that there's a way that we need to see how to behave ourselves when we come together. So it means Jesus will sit with them for 40 days, and in his sitting with them for 40 days, he will show them how to behave. And they will also learn how to behave because they are amongst themselves. And that is why the online church can never replace the local church. Right? The word church is the word ecclesia, called out from and brought into, so to say. Right? And so that the local church is not local without a local gathering. Are we together? Right? What makes God's Palace a local church? We are meeting within a locality in Edinburgh. You see, the online cannot replace. It's never God's intention. Together, right?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So the online church does not replace physical gathering. There is no alternative. Are we together? There is no saints need to meet. You know.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Sorry, bring forward the batteries. Yeah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Right? So, what was I saying?
The
online church cannot replace the local church, right? And I was saying something. Yeah, we find ourselves in a world right now where people think, I just worship God in my room. I just serve God in my room. You know, Christianity is about communion. You see, there is no Christian that is the body of Christ. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is no Christian that is the body. You hear people say things like, if I was the only one on earth, Christ would have still died for me. And thank God you're not the only one. And there's a reason why you're not the only one. It's because when you talk about Christianity, you talk about fellowship. And when you talk about fellowship, you talk about communication and communicating physically. Are we together? So, I worship God. So, how do you, and I give my offering to the orphanage. God sees my heart. Well, you hear people say things like, I study the word of God for myself. I don't need a local, I don't need a pastor. See, let me tell you these things. The Christian faith is not designed for a believer to be pastorless. Did you hear that? The Christian faith is not designed for a believer to be pastorless. If you read your Bible well enough, you will know you need to be in the local church. You need to have a pastor. It's written all over scripture. I'm not paying attention to that in this series. Right? So when you say, I read my Bible and the Holy Spirit just communicates to me. Can I shock you? There are lots of things in this Bible that you will never understand without another man teaching you. God just arranged that order that way. Look at 2 Timothy. You are 2 Timothy, right? You are in 1 Timothy, right? Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me amongst what? Many witnesses. So it means the things Paul heard, ultimately heard from Paul, will have witnesses that will accompany that. He says the same. Is that your Bible?
Yes.
The same. 2 Timothy 2:2. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying God's instruction is that man teaches man so that man can teach man so that man can teach man. You see that? Right? So he says, the things you heard of me, commit the same. Why do we have so many doctrines in our world today? Because a sister Stephanie wants to listen to a brother Joshua, right? And I listen to brother Joshua, he feels like, let me fine tune what brother Joshua says to make it my own. So people don't say I listen to people. Is that not true? Yeah? You know, people always want to start, and that's why I start hearing ridiculous things like, you know all those doctrines around portals? Those portals doctrine, those dimensions, those the seventh. When I say yes, I'm talking about seventh heaven, ninth heaven. What happened before Genesis? Those are people you, when there's a flee from every appearance of what? Those are people you run from. You know, and what I realize is they make you ever hungry but never able to quench your hunger. So I came to church a few weeks ago. I think one of your friends actually was talking to me, and I listened to her for less than 5 minutes. I said, you listen to this man.
You know him too.
Okay, come on. You come and reduce the volume. You know, listen to this man. Because why? She sounded like someone who wants to serve God but doesn't know how to serve God but knows there's a need to serve God. Yes, and very complex, right? So you are always hungry. There's always that. You are never enough. You never feel enough. altogether. And how did that start? You hear somebody say, oh, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You now listen to me, God created the heavens and the earth. And what you will hear, you know, by default, if you listen to someone talking, when you listen to the person that is talking, if I ask you to repeat what you heard, you'll probably not be able to repeat it. Mm-hmm. I've seen those practical examples where you see somebody will tell somebody something, and by the time you get to the last person, see, those people do not intentionally want to not get the point. Man already has by default, and that's why do we teach the things we teach the way we do it and repeat it often? Never get tired of repetition, because there's safety in repetition for the believer. You know that, why do I tell you every Sunday that God loves you? It's because there's every tendency that every Sunday you forget after. Right? So I need to keep you know, the practicality of God loves you is not when you are happy. It's when things seem to be going south and you recall and recollect that God really does love me. The practicality of what you learn in the church is not only for the local church. It's for, because there is no Christian that is exempted from challenges in this world. I remember a couple years ago, there's something used to where I say, a life without Christ is full of crisis. We all heard it. A life without Christ is full of crisis. Well, it's not entirely true. Because some people, see, you know that there are some people that require the crisis in my life today and they're not in Christ. We can call names. Let me tell you something. You see, if Bill Gates reaches out to me today, you know, the first thing I'll do to him is not the gospel. It might not be the gospel. It might not be the gospel. Because there's a way he can satisfy my bank account and I will not need to do 9-to-5 again. And you know, I say you are made. You are made in the image of God, we know. But there's something called being, and that is why it's very propitious. It's ridiculous.
You get the point. You just allow it to flow.
That's why it's very ridiculous. It's very ridiculous to teach that prosperity is found in the message of the gospel. It's so ridiculous because more people show that it's not true. Do you hear that? We have more people who are not doing well as Christians, not to insult anyone. And that is why the Christian faith doesn't put categories for people. When the rich comes, you can sit here. When the poor comes, you can sit here. Why can you sit here? Because both of you are rich in Christ. The riches of his grace is mercy. God, who is rich in mercy, abundant in grace, has extended his love towards you. So it means you are by default God's rich man. Do you get that? Mm-hmm. So the church, so when you start seeing people, why are we doing a series like this? When you start seeing people come to church, today is Zimbabwe sisters. Where are my Zimbabwe prisoners? Tomorrow is for Yoruba Sunday. Tomorrow is for Swahili. The next one is for people from Ghana. Do you understand that eventually you will successfully tarnish the purpose of why Christ came? Because Christ came to put Christ is the leveler. He has come to put that level for everyone. So that's why it says there's neither Greek nor Jew. So it means we don't recognize ourselves on account of where your mother was from or your father was from. We recognize ourselves in the local church on account of where God is from, heaven. If you want to accept that, that's fine. Do you get that? Right? So Paul said, go back to 1 Timothy 3 again. 1 Timothy 3. How many of you used to hear those phrases? Have you heard that phrase? So when you praise God, he will raise you. You know it, right? When the praises go up,
the blessings.
We say they go up. When the praises go up, the blessing. So we think praise is the key that opens the door for blessing. You know the problem? Because we think God is like a local government chairman who needs to be praised before his head will swell, then he will do. And that's why you see, from where I'm from, I come from the Yoruba part of the world, right? West Africa, West Nigeria, I'm from the West. Right? And where I come from, there's something called Oriki. Right? Oriki, for the translation of that means, it's just praises. So you talk about the works of what somebody is doing. So I say, Joshua. I remember you just swell up. Your head just swell up. Then what happened? You don't bring that money. So we think God is that way. So what we end up doing is we superimpose our culture in this world that is diverse across the world in our relationship with God. Someone will tell you, if you do some, if you start your year with praise, start your year with praise, he will raise you all through. You know, and to think that the more you praise God, the more he is happy. So God will now look at this, how can a human being be dancing before me like this? Oh, no. In the Bible, open the window of blessing. I put it in, started to say, Allah. They used to knock about, I haven't done that, Allah.
God has one.
Hallelujah. So, why are we teaching the doctrine of praise? Paul says that you ought to know how to behave yourself in the church. Are we together? You ought to know how to behave yourself in the church. So, when they gather together, how are they worshiping? How are they fellowshipping? What were the things they were saying? There needs to be order. We don't come and sing anyhow. We don't come and dance anyhow. We don't come and do anything anyhow. You see, you know the funny thing? Dancing, I'm going to look at it properly in this series later on, but let me just touch a little. Have you not noticed when Brother Sam leads a song, what does he usually say almost every 1-2 minutes? Okay, what's the first thing I say when I pick up the mic? Lift up your hands wherever you are and give God praise. Right? Lift up your hands wherever you are and give God praise. We're going to look at that. Why do we lift our hands? Right? You know, like I've told you before, a lot of people have asked me questions. Pastor, this is your church. I told you last week now. Somebody came to this church and did not come back again because we are not doing Fuji. Are we together? And so what we need to do for her is just to keep praying for her. That she finds the word where she finds Fuji. But for us, we emphasize on the word and stay away from Fuji. Hallelujah. What is Fuji? Fuji is a genre. In music, right, that can make you let loose. Now, is there anything in itself wrong with Fuji? No. You see, there is no beat, though. There's no gospel beat. Every beat we use, this beat we use today is secular. Amen? You know High Life? You know Makosa? You know reggae? None of them is of divine, is divine. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Right? You can set it apart from something divine. Now, so why don't we go into all those traditional beats? That's why I'm doing this series. I want you to understand. Right? I want you to understand why we don't do certain things. Now, I've told you before, I've been to a church garden before where you see brothers and sisters rounding themselves. And two ladies will be in the middle and be shaking this thing. I say, oh, liar, it's given to me by the Lord. and go. And I was like, go. And the minute I say go, she's turning again. Go. And they will leave the church and they'll say, we had a wonderful time in the presence of God. Have a wild, wonderful time. What happened? That's why you see people can sweat doing praise but cannot pray. So, do you know that there's no record of praise and worship in Jesus' teaching meetings? What I mean is, you don't see the apostles. I say, and before they started teaching, there was a ministry. Did they sing? They probably did sing. All together. Mm-hmm. But what is more important for the Christian and local church? The word and prayer. If we don't have the right knowledge of the word, what will you do? You will actually not have the right knowledge of prayer. You will not have... That's why you see people pray for people to fall down and die. Mm-hmm. And they are shouting. And you know people lose their voice on those things. All together. You see, I command you to fall down and die. And you know the unfortunate thing? In the name of Jesus. And they forget that the name Jesus means God saves. God has come to save. Salvation has come. So what are you praying? I command you to die in the name of the Lord who saves. Or in the name of the Lord who wants to save. And that's why you see the unnecessary rivalry within local church members or within church members or within Christians. Because we think that because I'm Christian, I'm the best Christian that ever exists. So because of the way I serve God, God has a bias for me over every other person. Are we together? God fights my battle. God fights my battle for me. You know, why did I do the series I did last month before the series? To show you who God really is. Does God fight battles? Yes, so God is a battle-fighting God. But the way he fights battles is not the way we see battles. Are we together? How did God say you should treat those who do evil to you? He says, give them food to eat. You know, some people have read that scripture and they say, give them food, but they not say, don't put poison. People, you can use this Bible to teach anything. But again, God said, I should put what? Not every quantity of salt I should put. You now load the food, with salt, and present now life blood. If the man don't love him, you see, and then they say, we heap coals of fire. Are we together? So it means that as saints, there's a way. So if you don't get, why do we teach the word longest in God's palace? You see, God's palace will never get to a point where we do praise worship for 2 hours and I'll not come and exalt you. Pastor, just exalt us. There's a quick, no, Pastor, today is Sunday. People are supposed to be resting today. It's a rest day. Even God rested. Mm. So you see people, they dance for 45 minutes. Why would first lead you to dance for 5 minutes? Then Paul will come and sprinkle prayer on you. 5 minutes. Then choir will still come back for special number. 20 minutes. That is not even still okay for you. Pastor will now just say, this morning, I don't really have much to say. You don't know so much. That's why. No, I don't really have so much. But I just want to speak God's word over you. Do you know how well you have to hear God's voice, God's word, before you can know his voice? Do you know how many times you give birth to a child? A child needs to hear his father's voice over years before he's blind, before he's looking away and he hears his voice and say, that's my father's voice. He doesn't hear his father's voice once and say, I know his father. Wow! It's the same thing for the Christian faith. You can't hear God's voice 15 minutes a week. I think you are growing. You are not growing. No matter where you are, no matter where your pastor is, I cannot impact you with knowledge by laying on of hands. People don't get. You don't get knowledge. See, no matter how much you hug me and tap, you like so seed. No matter how much you tap for me, you can't get what is in my head overnight. You see, what is here? Is a product of. So, as of 3 years ago, yeah, I used to consistently have nothing less than 6 to 7, 8 hours of study daily. You know, I keep telling you, you see, anything you're studying today, I don't plan to teach you for the next 5 years. So, the only way I get better is the only way you get better. You listen to God's word over and over. That's why you can't hear God's voice. You watch Suits. Season 1 to season 9. Then you hear God's word. How do you know his voice? Then you finish, you now come back. You hear Game of Thrones. You can't grow. You see that song, Read Your Bible? Yeah, if you want to grow online, there's no other way to grow in the Christian faith. You have to keep reading, keep studying, that's the only way you grow. So, but when you find yourself in a place where 15 minutes they share the word, you know, they did for 5 minutes when I was here. No, they used to, let me break it down for you. The first 220 minutes of call to worship. Call to worship, right? They will call you to worship. Then after the praise leaders will come and take over. Then after the praise leaders take over, we now do little prayer. No, little prayer. Then you now do the word, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Right? Then you now do offering. Offering is supposed to put basket somewhere there that you just, just drop or just quickly pass the message and everything. You now have to, everybody will now leave their seat and dance to the front. That's why you see different kinds of people. Those that are used 5 minutes in front of the basket. I know, unfortunately, people think that what makes your offering accepted is the dancing. You that you are earning £5,000, for instance, is 5p that you dance and you stop the whole church from moving. You drop your 5p, you dance down the basket to move around, and you say you're a generous giver. So there are ways we behave ourselves, there are ways we do things because God expects a lot from us. I always ask people, sat in the midst of us, would we do the lots of things we do? As a pastor, I always judge myself with that. Listen to what I'm about to say. If Jesus came just the way Peter saw Jesus in the flesh and he sat here, will I teach the word the way I'm teaching the word? No, some of us, pastor, when we say Jesus, will say you're lying. Jesus will just say that, you are lying. That's not true. I said it's me.
He's not saying you're lying, that's not true. Leave that place. If Jesus comes in the flesh, listen to what I'm about to say, I'm getting somewhere. If Jesus walked into this place in the flesh and I have to change my teaching because Jesus is here, it means what I'm teaching before is nonsense. Now, guess what? The most ridiculous thing is that I don't even acknowledge that Jesus is right here because you are here. So what we do to God's people? I don't acknowledge Jesus is here. So I need to see a Jesus. And what is faith? Things we don't see. So it means that when I say Jesus lives in you, I'm only saying it because I want you to be happy. I don't really believe it. So that's why I think there's a reason why I need to change my message because Jesus is not physically here. No, Jesus is right here. When we gather together, we gather with the Spirit of God. Just men. We've come together and we worship together. We don't say, oh Lord, come down and manifest. It doesn't come down from anywhere. Let the presence of the Lord come down. See, when we come here together, on account of we coming here together, we've made this place holy. So when we say this is holy ground, it's not because I prayed there 5 hours yesterday. It's because we are men set apart for a cause and we are holy. So we've come here to make this place holy. You see that scripture when it says Moses removed the shoe for where you are standing is the holy ground. It doesn't mean that angels were doing things there. It just really means that ground is a set apart ground for a purpose. That's what holiness means. Holiness doesn't mean you are not stealing. Meanwhile, it's not good to steal. Why do we say Holy Spirit? It is a spirit that is holy. The word there, holy, is sacred, designated with a purpose. Holy Spirit, spirit that is made alive in us to make us saved eternally. So anything that makes me change my teaching because of a person that walks into the church, yeah, you know, some pastors change their teachings when a rich person comes in. You know, I always ask you a question. If Bill Gates attended your crossover service, and you as a pastor, you say, this is your year, do you think you really answer it? Do you really think you answer it? If, who's another rich person? Jeff Bezos. Right? Elon Musk. People that want to create a world outside this world. If he came here and he sat here, right, and start saying, you know, the love God has for you is more. That's why we see it in accounts. You know, just worship God. The poor and the rich need to sit down to every message to listen and learn. Every. You know, let me say this because for my kind of person, where I'm from Nigeria, right? None of us here are from Nigeria, right? So where I'm from Nigeria, and I don't. The reason why I will use a lot of examples from Nigeria is because I am from Nigeria. That's the background. Right? One of the things I realized is a lot of people have to change their teachings once they cross over. Not cross over New Year. Go overseas. I was together. That's why I won't be surprised if a lot of people right now don't have a solid Christian prayer life, don't have a prayer life at all again. How many of you have prayed for lights to be in your house? Like anyway, if you're not from here. Yeah. You pray for lights now. When you're heading home, you say, Lord, if you really truly love me, Lord, let it look if you really love me. And as you are just driving, you're just looking at all the neighbor and the above. When you're looking, if you're using AC, fortunately for you, you wind down to hear this gem. Abi? So you pray, you intercede, Lord. Because I remember I used to need God to meet them. God said, let there be light. We need God to meet them. God to shoot like the God. Right? You know that a lot of times I drove to Nottingham on Thursday, right? And it took about 6-7 hours on the trip, right? And I came back on Friday. I drove all through, right? But you know, my heart was not panting. Because I knew an average person beside me is driving sane. Do you understand? I was just scared of police stopping me on the road to ask for fire extinguisher. I need to arrange it in a series of money somewhere before. So everything. So it means that if my prayer life was built around, oh Lord, give me Johnny Mercy in Nigeria, and all those, who, Lord, give me. You now come to an environment where everything is given. What are you praying for again? I remember someone reached out to me and said, Pastor, hey, Pastor, I've been in this church for over 3 years. You've never said we should pray for husband. You never said we should pray for car. You never said we should pray for job. So if we say pray for car, pray for husband, pray for job, when all those things come, what should we now pray for? Children. You see, and that's why if they're not starting, you see, there's a way you will be, we are so needy, we are so, and we don't serve God, though. When they say come to church, church is 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock and you set your alarm. How about Jesus? Everybody look at me. How about Jesus? Church is 10. You saw the flyer. You know it is 10. You've come to church before 10. It's 10 o'clock, you set the alarm. Mm-hmm. Then, when the alarm rang, I said, you now look at time, you now say, they are praying. They are praying. The world is supposed to start by 11:30, 10:30. Let me just step in. But you never do. I'm still in order. You know, why do we have accountability in the church? You know, I don't think there's anybody there who goes late to work and doesn't inform their boss. Why? It is order. Are we together? So if you revolve your life around the things of this world, a time will come. What happens when you have everything? So look at it though. Let's say you have your prayer is husband. God give me husband. God give me husband. No people so sick for husband. Mm-hmm. Remember, I saw a video of a lady who was saying, "So is sick if you want your children to marry as virgins." Have you seen that video? you know why I like God's palace. You people don't meet you God. You don't see all these things. You don't see. I like you people. I love you all. Right? Yeah. She said, "So a seed if you want your children to marry as virgins." Who are running for what? Children, they don't know. Bella. You are praying, you are sowing seed for your child to marry a baby that is not a baby. You know, people rush forward. You say, give $1,000 for every year you've lived on this world. I heard in my spirit, there are plenty of you here that have 10,000 to drop. Where are you? I give you 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. Nobody comes out. I ask for a prayer and you say, 5K. I think nobody still responds to you. You know, there's a kind of church you will go to that there's an offering you will call, nobody will come. And that church is as good of a church in which Christ died for. Just like a church where you have people who are parking their cars in the garage. We don't know God is in the midst of us because of the kind of cars the pastor drives or the kind of cars the members drive or the houses they live in. That's so ridiculous. Else, it means that people who are not Christians, who are doing well in life, are in a better place in God's heart than us. And you know, more often than not, we have people who are doing well, not Christians. So you don't understand God's love for you because of a job. Lord, prove you love me. Give me this job. How does God prove his love for you? He gave himself as a sacrifice, his son, Christ Jesus. And he said, whosoever believes in him shall know what? Perish but have everlasting life. It means a man who is saved is eternally saved. He can never be unsaved. So that's where we have the assurance of our love. So if you understand love, it's my wife. God gave me some. God handpicked. God handmade. Because of you, I really know God truly had me in mind. I was asking God to show me where exactly does your love lie for me? And he gave me you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you can't always be understanding God by the things you get. So he also reflects this. You can't now be praising God because of what you have. Is it good to say thank you, Lord Jesus, because I have a car? Yes, nobody will say it, you should not say it now. But if your thank you, Lord Jesus, is only because you get things, there are days you will not get things, and you will not say thank you, Lord Jesus. But there's something that no matter what you get or what you don't get, you can thank God for the gift of his life. If the only day you praise God is the day you get a new job, what happens when the job goes? You know, people, they started laying off people now. A lot of companies now are now driving towards the next 10 years where a lot of things will be automated. Right? So if you say, I understand God's love for me because I got this job, The day you lose the job, somebody like someone left and tell you, don't worry, God has better plans for you. They might not be better. You know that people who have lost their jobs and for the rest of their life, the next jobs they got were not half as good as what they lost. But when they lost the job, what they encourage themselves is that God's plans are good, not of evil, to bring me to what? An expected end. That's what do you think the expected end of God for a believer is? It should be eternal life, to be found in His Son. If I know the plans I have for you, they are good, not of evil, to bring to it is the plan of His love to bring you into His salvation plan. And you are there forever. So if job comes, you are thanking God for you are in His plan. Right? So a believer is somebody who has fulfilled destiny. You know that song, Destiny Changer? Come and change my destiny. Well, I hope you're singing it well. And what you're talking about is not what you should be. Or what I mean is, if you want God to change your destiny, what you're trying to say is God should change you from being saved. Your name is Yahweh. Yeah, miracle. Yeah, well, and if I talk about your situation, fine. Yeah, miracles happen. But destiny changing for the believer is not based on what you get as a better job. It's based on the fact that you are saved and eternally secure in His life, in His love. So, why do we praise God? We don't praise God particularly or only. Let me say, because God has told me, right? We praise God fundamentally for His work He has done in salvation. Now, if we are praising God, it means that God can determine how we praise Him. It means we don't determine how we praise God. Do you understand? And that's why I always tell you that if we're not careful, if we tolerate certain things, we might know where it started from, we will not know where it will end. Are we together? You know where to end. You know where to end. Hallelujah. So look at scriptures again. 2 Timothy 3. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and the what? Pillar and ground of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we started looking at a few things, look at 2 Timothy 4. Let me try go to 2 Timothy 4 before I go to John 4 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, 1. Are you there? 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at His appearing and His kingdom. Now, what is the charge? Look at verse 2. Preach the what?
The word.
Preach the word. So, who's talking here? Paul is talking to Timothy. So, what is Paul telling Timothy? Preach the word. Be instant in what?
Season.
In season and what?
Out of season.
Out of season. What does in season and out of season really mean? It means when they want to hear. When they don't want to hear, what do you preach? The word. So our message as a church doesn't twist based on the economical happenings. Are we together? Our message as a church doesn't switch or twist because of the financial happenings or financial deep dive. Paul says, preach the word in season. Now let me ask you a question. You know there's every tendency for a believer to not want to always hear the word. And people hide behind, Pastor, you don't minister to my heart. Pastor, you know, I wanted to, I wanted to feel the infirmity. So what now happens? You now make we pastors begin to do messages like 10 ways to get rich. 10 ways to be financially, how do you call it? Independent. 6 godly ways. You see, that you put godly in front of the way, it doesn't mean the way is God. Are we together? You know that the Bible is so rich that if we teach the word for what it is, it tackles every aspect of our lives. I don't need to wake up to do a series on. Let me say it differently. I don't need to wake up to do a series on husband and wife before you learn how husband and wife need to behave in a local church. Can I do a series on husband and wife? Yeah, I can. What will be my goal of that series? To just teach emphatically on a man and a woman. And what will I really pay attention to is forgiveness now. You know, if forgiveness is practiced in a home, the home cannot break. No home can break if both parties practice forgiveness. You hear what I said? Both parties. It's two. If both parties, friendship cannot scatter if both families, both friends practice forgiveness. What is missing the most is what? You know, and forgiveness doesn't always mean because I know you will forgive, I'll behave anyhow. It boils down to the love work. It boils down to the relationship among people. You exalt others over yourself. Never think of yourself as highly. Altogether. So, why do we have different series and different titles? Just because we are taking the same word now. Just part time, we need to make emphasis for people to understand. People to know. Altogether. So, it says, preach the word, be instant in season out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all wrong suffering and doctrine. Now look at verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. 2 Timothy 4, 3. 1, 2, 3, go. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own loss, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. So what does Paul tell you that should happen with sound doctrine? What should be your attitude towards sound doctrine?
Preach. All the time.
Preach? Uh-huh. In season out of season, uh-huh. Endure. So it means that sound doctrine needs to be endured. It means that you will not always hear something that will make you happy when you come to the local church. So sound doctrine is not to be endured. So when someone is saying, don't live anyhow you want to live, behave anyhow you want to behave, you are God's very own. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your sins are forgiven both past, present, and future. Just continue sinning. Are we together? Right? So, what does that do to you? I like that pastor. I remember somebody heard me preach somewhere, and I was teaching about eternal forgiveness of sins and how the forgiveness of Christ Jesus, his blood, has taken over sins forever into eternity. So the person thought, there's such a, who taught you that rhema? Is it the Holy Ghost, or where did you learn that rhema from? I said, the person heard me on believer's conduct. See? And so I was like, how did you move from this to that? Because the word of God is a full package. It comes with exhortation. It also comes with rebuke and correction. So Paul will say to Timothy, a time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. So what should you do when they don't endure sound doctrine? Preach the word. Remember now verse 2. Preach the word in season out of season. So if you don't endure sound, if you don't endure sound doctrine, what am I supposed to keep doing? I preach the word. If you endure and doing sound, I look at our body language and what do I do? I start changing the message. I start changing the message. You know, walk in love, but you know, the people will do some very terrible things to you that you cannot forgive. Just allow God to forgive all of us. It's only God that forgives the ultimate way. But I'm still trying to be like Jesus. Yeah? And why am I twisting my message? Because I want somebody to say, that's very good. Now, it means that this enduring of sound doctrine did not start today. The need to endure sound doctrine did not start today. Mm-hmm. Paul wrote it in scriptures. Are we together? It says, and they shall turn away from their ears. Excuse me. Turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy what? Of thy ministry. Right, so let's do a few things now. Let's try examine a couple of things in scriptures. What would praise be? What would worship be? Where did worship start from? We'll look at that in this series, but let's just start somewhere. If you go all the way to John 4, look at John 4, we started there on Sunday. You know, like I said as well, praise and worship is not fast song and slow song. Mm-hmm. Are we together? Right? Some of us think that once you hear the strings on the piano, that is worship. And when you hear ocarina, when you hear an e-piano, you don't know that, yeah? You don't know it well. When you hear we lift our hands in praise. Then what happens? We now end the game with worship. That's worthy. Right? That's what we think. But like I said, there is no groove. You know what groove is? There's no beat that is godly beat. There's no Christian beat. Right? The question is, how do we use the carnal beats of this world to make it make sense in our worship and offering of worship or praises to God? Altogether. You know, now there's a lot of our music ministers, they listen more to worldly songs than Christian songs. Imagine a music minister, Minister Jem. Imagine Minister Jem, and he called Minister Jem. And people don't need to hear what you're listening, just have earpiece. They are walking towards me, and you are hearing. Yeah, he said, so that's why industry people now, because they want to satisfy their carnality, they wait for the people who are in the world. When they sing song, what happened? They remove the voice over it and play it in church. And what happened? Jesus is my God. How many of you know that song? You don't know the song? Jesus is my God. We like to joke. I know a lot of us now know the a lot of this ridiculous song with the intro. So once the parents just play the intro. You know, yeah, lift your hands and give him praise. I find, you know, people now let loose. People now let loose. I don't think it's just ready. You know this song? I will be following you and going. Yeah, the English version, right? I'll be following you and going. Following. People now carry the side of their shoulder. I'll be running around the church. What have you done at most? You burned calories. Altogether. What matters the most in praise and worship is what you said. Yeah? No wonder after you finish doing that for 5 minutes, you will be sleeping. You know, ideally, when you go to the gym, and you get back home, you want to just relax. The person that's not teaching is now using soft voice. And you don't make us pastors to be shouting at the specific point of our meeting because we want to wake you up. And God is. And lift your hands and say glory to the Lord. Are we together? Right? So what? Right? See, people will come, they just remove what they are close, just and then, in the church again. Where is decorum? Where is order? I was again. Look at John 4:21. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is calling. So it means there's a place where people took their offerings or they worship God, mountains of Jerusalem. So Jesus will say, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. For ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. Now, I taught last week, when the Bible says salvation is of the Jew, it's not saying salvation is for Jewish people alone. It is that you can trace the offspring of that man Jesus so that brings salvation to the Jewish heritage. Are we together? Right? But the hour cometh and now is when the one worshippers shall, when the true worshippers rather, shall worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Right? For the Father seeketh. Now let me explain something to you. The Father seeketh. Now the word there seeketh is the word that means desire. The word there seeketh is the word that means desire. Let me show you something quickly in Matthew 7. I'm going to bring that scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right? Matthew 6, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All other things shall be added unto you. Now, what that scripture is not teaching is, when you serve God, every other thing will come into your lives. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? Amen. So you know what people now do? People now use back door. What they really want is the all other things. They'll not be serving God. Do you understand? Because the Bible says if you serve God, if you seek him first, all other things will be added to you. So what you're really looking for is the all other things, but you're now serving. When you now do first 2 years, 3 years, nothing is changing. You will now have to what? Be giving yourself break. Right? Now, when you see the word seek, look at Matthew 7, 7. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Is that your Bible?
Yeah.
Please follow what I want to show you right now. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall what?
Find.
Knock, the door shall be what?
Open.
Now, what's the first letter for the word ask?
A.
First letter for the word seek?
S.
Ask. It's in God. Yeah? So, you see, the most important is the asking. See, A-S-K. But look at what's this in context. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom his son shall ask for bread, will give him what?
Stone.
Or if he ask for fish, will give him what? Serpent. Look at verse 11. If ye then being what?
Evil.
Know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good what?
Yes.
Give good things to them that
ask him.
Give good what?
Yes.
Things to them that ask him. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there everything you've asked God in this life that you've gotten?
No.
Please, there's nothing like that. Let me see. So I can tell you the things I need. Since only God is answering. Let me give you my list. Right? So it means that this scripture is not absolute. Ask, it shall be given. So I say, ask, I shall be given anything. And somebody was just saying that, I can ask God for anything and he will give you anything because it's your papa.
Mm.
It's your father. Say, daddy. So can cash is beautiful. I'm not married, but I want to marry. And he said, you have to use your sense. You have to use your sense. But then he said, ask for anything. You know the Bible says all things are yours. First Corinthians 6. All things are mine. I had one friend like that. He's still my friend. All things are mine. The Bible says all things are mine. All things are mine. I will lend to nations. You know, even going to ask what they were lending. I will not borrow, I will not owe anybody, I will lend to nations. Nations will come to my. Nations will come to my. Brightness of my sun or my rising or whatever. Nations will come, I will lend to nations. I don't borrow. I don't borrow. I'm hungry. I don't beg. Me, I don't beg for food. Right? I don't beg for food. I don't do any of this begging. No. For God is my papa. God gives me food every day. How? He said, he'll give me daily bread. Like I've told you before, if God gives you bread every day, you will know it. How many of you eat bread every day here? No matter how much you love bread, you eat bread every day. You can't be every day. You can't see me every day. At least I know some days at the church we fast. Right? So all things are mine. And I ask, what is our mind? What do you mean by that? You know, you can teach covetousness in this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I say, all things are mine. Wait. This is my phone. I bought it. It's my own. How is it yours? You cannot answer. So when it says all things are mine, all. The Bible says, and for he that spared not his son, how will he not freely give you all things? It can't be all things now. Yeah, you see, if all these scriptures are the way they are literally and the way we explain them, it means that God doesn't hear his children. Because more often than not, we don't have so many things. So we need to look in context what the Bible says. So the Bible says, if your father being evil know how to give good gifts, how much shall your father which is where?
In heaven
give good things. So we think the father gives everything good, anything, anyhow. Go to Luke 9 quickly. Hey, look, is it Luke 9 or Luke 11? Luke 11, 9. Don't forget where we just read. Matthew what? 7, 7. Is that true?
Yeah.
So look at Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, you shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Is that the same thing we read?
Yeah.
Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And he that knocketh, shall be opened. If they said, ask for bread, is that the same thing?
Yeah.
If his father give him stone. If you ask for fish, will the father give him fish? If you give him serpent?
Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Now look at verse 13. Let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto you. Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Go, continue. How much more shall your heavenly Father give
the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
So what is the good thing Matthew spoke about?
Holy Spirit.
Is it clear?
Yeah.
Is it in your Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah? So Matthew will call it good thing. Luke will say that good thing is the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So what is the fundamental thing that God gives to man? Life. Life eternal. Now, can a Christian experience miraculous? Yes. But if you build your praise life around the miraculous, you will usually not praise God more often than not. Because miracles don't happen every day. Miracles don't happen every second. Do I believe in miracles? Yes. Have I experienced miracles? Yes. I've experienced miracles, miracles, miracles. Are we together? But if I only thank God when miracles happen, it means that I'll probably not thank God most of my life. Because miracles don't happen every second. But every believer has something to thank God for. So at every point, as a believer, at every point you want to say thank you, Jesus, you have something to thank God for. What is that? His life, His Spirit, forgiveness of sins, His mercy, His grace. So what will praise now be, particularly? Praise will now be to speak about that which He has done for you. Are we together? Praise will be to speak about that which He has done for you. So John 4, 21, we say 21 to 22, 23, you say, for the Father seeketh, the word there seek means to what? To desire. To desire. So it's God's desire that true worshippers worship. So when true worshippers worship, we will see true doctrine taught. Are we together? So the doctrine of God's word. So what exactly is, so what should our praise and worship time be as a church? When we put together what I'm teaching you into songs. Simple. Can every believer write songs?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so every believer should be a songwriter. Be a what? Songwriter. Now, let me say this carefully. Please listen carefully. One of the things we are having problem with in this world is the doctrine or the practice of giving awards to Christian singers and singers. Amen?
Yeah.
That's one of the greatest mishaps that can happen to the church and to the music ministry, to the music department. Do you know why I changed my word? I first said music ministry. I changed it. Let me say it. Why I changed it. Eh? Music department is a department in the church where people choose to serve. That you sing in the church doesn't mean you are doing ministry of reconciliation. Are we together? You know, unfortunately, in our world right now, we pay our instrumentalists. We pay singers. We pay drummer. Right, wife? We pay our drummers. And now drummers don't now go to churches to hear the word. Drummers now know, you see drummers and instrumentalists now go to churches based on how much you are willing to pay. So unfortunate. So unfortunate. Altogether, so unfortunate. Can a man be a skillful person? Can a Christian be skillful? Yes, no. You know, I always tell you, anything you practice and give yourself to, you become better, even if it's thin. Yes, no. Anybody that is stealing, I'm stealing every day, you get better. Like you see, you look back, I used to steal ideas before. You don't know me, I will move your phone, you wouldn't know when to rescue. Like, then, you grow. So, if you take yourself to the piano, you get better at playing the piano. You get yourself to the piano, you get better. You know there's nobody here who cannot play the piano. Yes. It's just for you to give your attention to, I want to learn. Do you have hands? Yes. Do you have head? Yes. Do you have eyes? Yes. Even if you don't, there are people who don't have all these things that are doing them. But you know, see, if I say, we are looking, audition, exclamation. Audition. Why are you playing the keyboard if I'm not playing someone that goes in the toilet? Now they're doing it from their heart. This was on their mind. See, if you want to be a very plain church, play the keyboardist, play the drummer, and play the members. Yes, sir. If you are not sitting here, if all of you are not here, who will like me? I'll just be talking to the mic, I mean to the speaker. Do you understand? So pay everybody equally. Now, yes, some instrumentalists, I'm like, they don't want to work again. He said, how can I grow my skill this way? I'm giving it to God for free. They don't know that's what they are saying. Do you understand? How can I appreciate, give appreciation. Appreciation, you need to appreciate. Even the Levites fed on the money of the church. Right? In Abuja, for instance, you know, one of the things that happened really closely was, so we used to play our music house guys before.
Yeah.
But one of the things we didn't do, when we didn't stop it overnight. We gave them, you see us, all of you come, see, in the next 6 months or 3-4 months or 6 months, we'll stop paying you, we'll go and look for a job. Mm-hmm. Eh? What happened? All of them found jobs. They've been working for 2 years or 3-4 years, they go to today. And they are growing their career. So it means no matter, look at you, these are singers who were paying every month to be staying, and we give them a house. And I stopped them like, how can you limit? Is it that you don't see ahead? Like, how much are they really possibly giving you? Can a church give you 2 million every Sunday? Can a church give you £1,000 every Sunday? It depends. Go and start one now. I see you, and they come and they say we are paying for it. They are rehearsing Monday to Friday. Your mates are working. You say you are rehearsing. You now say that they are playing their piano is their own work. You know, you can actually be a pianist in the studio and be making money from the studio and serve in the local church for free. Let me tell you something. Can a pianist come here and he cannot afford his bills and we support him till he can afford his bills? Yes! Nothing is wrong in that, though. But not that he will make up his mind not to work. I'm working. You're not serious. Somebody is calling me anyhow to be doing PPP, project document, project plan, Monday to Friday, and I'm going to come and give you. Because what's the yes sound? No, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I always tell you, why do I work as a pastor? To show you can serve God and still do well in your career. Hear that from me. I'm going to teach on giving, yeah, in the next couple of weeks. I've made sure in the last 4 or 5 years as a church that nobody has ever outgiven me as a pastor in God's palace. No one. So let that be your assignment. What am I doing with that? To show you that I'm not sitting down somewhere praying for you people and I'm just saying, you know, all your life, be great for me. My work is to be praying for you. I have a life. Right? There's a level of comfort I want my wife to enjoy. There's a level of comfort I want my children to enjoy. I will not collect your money to give them that life. So what I do? So you see me, as you are running to your office 9 o'clock, I'm running to my office 9 o'clock. And in all of that, I'm still studying to teach you. So you mean, you know, I'm the only one in this church that if something happens to all of you individually at the same time, it's only me you will come. So I have the responsibility of each and every one of you as a pastor, minus the church in Nigeria. I still have my own family. I'm still working on and studying for hours. What is your excuse? What is your excuse? Please tell me now. Are we together? Yeah. So you actually have a mindset that there's an approach you have to your Christian service and Christian faith. That don't let anybody tell you that if you serve God, forget about money. If you serve God, forget about God. It's not true. Yeah. Can you serve God and serve money? Well, you should be able to, but it's just that you must prioritize serving God. That's me saying serving God as can you work and earn money? Simple. Because you can take it to another level now. Say serving money is don't hear what I'm not saying. Right? But you can actually do well career-wise and do well ministerially. Are we here?
Yes.
So why do I take out time to teach the things I do? Because there is safety first of all in repetition, and there's safety in you knowing why you do things. Amen?
Amen.
There's safety in you knowing why we do things. So I just showed you a quick example from the scripture. I didn't need to use the Holy Spirit, right? I just showed you, the Bible says, if your father being evil gives you...
If you being evil
give your children good things, how much will your father give you? So we think that scripture is comparing, if man gives you money, God too can give you money. But what did Luke do to us? Look at it in context. That good thing that the father gives. So what were they to ask regarding? It's to be regarding the giving of the... So when you see ask, seek, knock, regarding the giving of what? Fundamentally giving of the Spirit. So that scripture is just to say ask God for anything you want. So So let me now help you again. So if, you know you read Matthew 7, but we did it in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it's what? Righteousness. And all other things shall be added unto you. What is really teaching? It's not saying because you seek the kingdom, things will be going well for you. He's saying, seek the kingdom. Desire that to be your priority. Things will usually get better over time. Or things will be fine eventually. That's why in Matthew 6, he gives you an example of the birds of the air don't need to pray before they feed. Is it God that moves the bird to where to find food? You know, hunger can kill bird. You know, hunger can kill bird and hunger can kill human being. Right? So, if the scripture is saying the Holy Spirit leads people to where there is food, there's where there is food, green pasture, it means that the Holy Spirit dwells in birds. Yeah. What is he really teaching? You see, in this world, God has made sufficient what will sustain mankind on the earth. You know why people don't have money and people have more money than the other? It's because people are what? Greedy, stingy. Altogether. People are stingy. People are selfish. Themselves and themselves alone. Altogether. They gave you £1 million to do this road. Yeah? It's not good to... Let me not say it. Before you say I'm saying you should take part of it. So, some people... So, there are different categories of people. This is the best way to say it. There are those that will put £100,000 in their pockets and use £100,000 to buy stone and sprinkle it. And there are those that will put £500,000 in their pockets and use £100,000 to do the road. And there are those that will put £100,000 in their pockets and do £100,000 to do the road. Which is better? No. Ah, thank God you said no. We would have not left here today. None of them is better. They are all the same. Stealing. Yeah? If you steal £1 or £1 or £1 British USD, is equal to what, stealing 5,000 what? So don't say that. So what's good here from me? This is all the same. Let me just I use the energy to steal one small this thing. Let me use all my own mind and might to steal that. That's not what you did here. I just want to say that. And sometimes you see a lot of people who are sinning differently, judging other people for sinning differently. At your work, they gave you money to buy something, you did not return the change. You say, we are a family, we are all one family in the office. My CEO is my brother. Because we are eating dinner together. And you now say, these people are criminals. All these are politicians. They can't steal. So, I've tried to use this teaching today to expose your heart to the fundamental reasons why we do certain things in church and why there needs to be order. Are we together? Right? Over the next few weeks, we'll start looking at what exactly is worship, what exactly is praise. And we'll find out that for every time the Bible, for most times when the word worship is in scripture, worship is not used for what was said a lot of times, but was used for what was brought. Hallelujah. Yeah? It was properly used for what was brought. So anybody that says that, do you remember what did Abraham say to his servants when he was going to the bush? He said, stay here while I go yonder to what? To worship. For to worship. What was he going with? A sacrifice. Did you get that? So when worship is used in scripture fundamentally, you would have to consider sacrifice. So what will praise be? Praise will be to speak well about the sacrifice that has been accepted.
Wonderful. I was really blessed.